True crime shows are all the rage on TV and in the world of podcasts. Just ask the world's biggest fans right here. Tonight, Bethany Jones from the Pros and Cons True Crime Podcast walks us through the mysterious and hopefully gruesome murder of B-list horror movie director Al Adamson. It's a very special scare guy coming right at you.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Welcome to The Scare Guy. I just realized I said it's a very special Scare Guy show tonight. You know, like back in the olden days, most of you are
on a very special episode. Yes. Jim's been doing drugs.
Jimmy Carson over here.
A very special episode of like Facts of Life. Blair's mom is getting divorced. Yeah, I just love this. You're a big fan of Facts of Life.
I am a very big fan of Facts of Life.
Did you say hopefully gruesome?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Hopefully it's a gruesome
Yeah,
murder.
You hope this guy got brutally
this
killed.
This real no. person we're talking
strike,
about.
Strike one for Jim already.
We're talking about murder tonight. It was diet gruesome.
I can't wait to talk about it. We have a very diet special gruesome. Show tonight. I don't care. It's a very special show because we are diving into the world of true crime mysteries, starting with a murder tonight, and Bethany Jones is going to walk us through it, and we are very excited to have her on the show tonight. Yes, I love it. My name is Jim Fry. You can find me at Jim Fry LA on Twitter, and I think I'm James D. Fry on Instagram, but we have a really great group of people in the house tonight. Who do we have?
I'm Becky Murdoch, and I am the festival director of Salute Your Shorts Film Festival in Hollywood.
And a big, giant fan of...
True Crime.
Yeah.
I am Bethany, and I am the Inmate Whisperer, and also one of the hosts of the Pros and Cons podcast.
Which is?
It's a true crime podcast, and we take you behind the crime scene tape and behind the scenes. We are two veteran true crime TV producers, and we talk about the cases we've produced, and we bring on other experts, from FBI agents to forensic experts to... even sometimes the cons.
And we're so excited to have Bethany with us tonight. This is something that I've been really interested in.
Bethany has a great NPR voice. I, on the other hand, have a voice for cartoons. I'm Ben Cleaver, at BenKlieWer on all your social media accounts. I mostly just try and use Instagram and Twitter. I tried doing the Facebook, the professional, Facebook page thing, and it's just who cares?
Facebook's going away.
Right. Anyway, actor, comedian, writer, producer, director now. I've been doing that kind of stuff. I'm an occasional horror enthusiast, but not as much as you guys. But you guys are teaching me in the ways of the Force.
Yeah, we are willing it into you.
Yeah, so I appreciate it. I do actually really like horror. I just don't realize that I like horror as mm-hmm. much as I do. So
it covers so much these days. It's like, for example, Godzilla, best monster movie of... Anyways, we'll talk about that in a second, which is...
I do love monster movies. Yeah. Jaws is one of my favorite things.
Speak your truth.
It's my truth. I love Godzilla. He's my favorite monster of all time. We'll talk about it in a second. Who do we have on the couch?
I'm Cheeseman on the couch, and I'm here with thescareguy.com. Although we are still showing the con guy in the background, we need to...
Oh!
We'll switch it out, just so you know. We do have a show called The Con Guy Show, and Scare Guy is part of theconguy.com.
There are some true crime conventions, so maybe that's what they're going
to.
There
you go. We'll switch it out.
There is a connect, yes.
And I like that Luke brought that up. The thing is, we do have a weekly show here. We have The Con Guy, and we do have The Scare Guy. The Scare Guy is what we call the scarier side of The Con Guy. So
sure.
The Con Guy is our show that covers all the news and events from... Comic-Con type perspective, and then the Scare Guy, we go a little bit darker. And it started about 18 months ago when we had finished up with the con season, which doesn't really ever finish these days, but we decided, you know what, we're heading into Halloween season, and it would be great to have a Halloween-themed show. Because
I just want to see Jim's logo of his head with vampire teeth.
Enter full screen.
He just turned into a vampire.
Well, Jim, I want to let you know that Golden Road Brewery, which is a hot brewery here.
Delicious.
Cheese, yes.
I do love Golden Road. It's a great brewery.
It's a great brewery.
It is. So they reached out to Adriana and I as leaders in true crime, and every month we do a true crime meetup, and we are gearing for a really big Southern California true crime meetup. So come as the con guy, come as the scare guy.
Yes.
I will put you on my tab, and we'll...
You just spoke the magic words.
Those are the magic words for the con guy.
I'm
scary
always on
guy.
The Jim Uber. Oh, yeah. You'll be on. So I'm
they,
super.
They call it the gym happy hour is what they call it.
Yep.
It lasts 7.5 hours.
It's from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m.
When does that Hey, Bethany, when does that happen?
It's monthly. It's the last Monday of every month. It's Macabre Mondays. You can find it on, you know, our social media. You can find it on My Favorite Murder social media. You can find it on, because we're not just one brand specific. It's for anyone who's into true crime.
Yeah.
So, just so you know,
you noticed that we switched out the graphic right behind us. That was done through the magic work of our incredible engineer, Ryan. I would like to
introduce
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ryan is keeping the show going tonight. So thank you, Ryan, for doing that. We are having a little tiny bit of technical difficulty. If you'll notice, we're not live. I guess you won't notice that because you can't watch. But
if you happen to be watching this later and you said, hey, now is later and not then.
Yeah. And if you wonder why you couldn't get onto the live chat tonight, it's because we're just having a little bit of internet difficulties. But not to worry. This will be posted as soon as we can get it up. And you guys will have a lot of fun with this. Anyways, we are going to jump right in. But first, I got to say something. Godzilla is my favorite monster. Did I say that yet?
You did.
You've been holding that magazine secretly behind the desk. I know. For 10 minutes.
Godzilla. I picked this up. I just got off the airplane about 2 hours ago.
Where'd you fly in from?
Chicago.
Boy, your arm's tired.
Yeah.
Anyways, are we doing in Chicago, Jim?
Well, I was coming from Greenville, South Carolina, by way of Chicago. My niece.
I'm getting nosy.
I'm going to say this because my mom's probably going to watch the show. She never watches this show because she hates horror stuff. But I said, you got to watch this week. It's going to be different. We're going to have a lot of fun. Congratulations, Reagan. Reagan graduated right up near the top of her class. Kuma sum laude. She is going to be so smart. She's going to be ruling the world. And
she already is smart, man.
I mean, she's already smart.
She graduated summa cum laude.
And hasn't she gone to one of the conventions on our behalf?
Oh, yeah. She went to the Greenville, South Carolina convention. We met two years ago at San Diego Comic-Con. And she's a big con fan that goes to show you the brainy people go to the conventions. Anyways, let's get started. I am going to... First, I'm going to ask our trusty engineer, did we get that... We did.
We got the video up.
So I want everybody to know that one of our favorite people, Carrie D. Lane, who was a host on the show with us here for about a year...
She's dead to me.
She is not dead to me. She got a real day job at a TV station up in Santa Barbara, so she's unavailable to come out on Monday nights. But she still does some weekend stuff for us. So she went to an event this weekend and sent us this really cool... What is this, Luke? Can you tell us what this is we're about to watch?
It's a speakeasy, but it's like horror based. It's called R-rated speakeasy.
Yeah. It's an R-rated speakeasy here in Southern California.
She's going to discuss it in the video clip here.
Is Jim also on her tab or?
Yeah, right. All right, so
need 1 second, you guys.
But
there
we go. Now I'm all good.
So here we go.
Here we go. So this is Carrie Lane.
Carrie Lane.
All about it.
Speakeasy. And if you're watching...
Hi, Carrie Lane here with The Scare Guy, and I'm here with Justin Meyer to tell us about this really interesting and unique event and location. So how are you related to this event, and what is it?
Hi, so I am the co-producer of Rated R Speakeasy, and this is a horror speakeasy bar that is located at a secret location in Glendale. It is inside the back of a mysterious costume shop. We'll give that much away, as you can see probably behind us. This event is a horror bar that is open to the public to have you come in and have a drink and spend some time in the horror environment. We have a movie screening area where we do movie premieres for Shudder, and Fangoria is one of our sponsors. And then we have a bar in the back, and it is just a lot of fun, a night spent hanging out with people and horror fans and enjoying ourselves. Yep.
Nice. Yeah. And for people who have no idea how to find out about this event and where to find the next secret one, where do they go to find that information and sign up, or what do they need to do?
Absolutely. So the best thing to do is to go to ratedrspeakeasy.com, and you can find all of your information to sign up and get tickets at that website. If you're a horror fan, this is the place to be.
Nice. Yeah, I took a little bit of a tour in the back, and we'll show you more footage of that. And it was very funny, exciting. Just even coming in the front door, I'm like, ooh, costumes and things. And
costumes and roaming monsters.
And yes, there was a monster who went by earlier. I dig
it. Yeah, there's something around every corner. So there's cool movie screenings. It's something for everybody.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
And this is Carrie Lane with The Scare Guy. Thank you for watching.
She thinks she's with the scare guy.
I'm excited that Carrie's
holding a grudge.
Carrie's back. Carrie's back. I miss Carrie. I really miss Carrie.
Yeah, nothing that's why I'm so upset. She was so great on the show.
So we are going to post the remainder of Carrie's videos,
yeah,
right?
So there's more clips from that. Is my microphone okay? There you go. I'm back on. So we're gonna. That was kind of an edited down version. So we're going to be posting the full version, and then we have another clip of some other people because they actually had some acting and other performances going on there. And she posted on our Instagram page, if you check it out, it was like a maze going through all these clothing things, and they kind of had sections out, and then they had like people jumping out and stuff and kind of scaring you along the way. So it was this big kind of maze going in. So it's something they're wanting to do every month, depending on if people are still interested in coming, they're willing to do once a month,
sure,
this thing, so definitely be checking that
and
out.
And where can you find this video? You said it's on our Instagram?
Well, there's a couple of clips of her interviewing some podcasters and kind of going in the entrance on Instagram, but on our YouTube channel, we're going to have this interview you just saw and then another interview with some of the performers that were there.
And that is thescareguy.com on it's the Scare Guy
well,
on Instagram.
It's Scare Guy on Instagram, and then if you go on YouTube and look up the Scare Guy channel, we'll have those videos posted there.
Thanks.
And we'll probably post them within our article for this show as well. So you can look on thescareguy.com and we'll have all the videos and Instagram links probably posted on there.
Fantastic. Well. Yeah. Thank you, Cheeseman on the Couch. Becky?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the film festival that you're involved with.
So, Salute Your Shorts is in Hollywood. We are in our third year. We just closed for submissions on May 25th. And we have a ton of great films to start watching right now. So we're now in the grueling process of watching and selecting.
How many films are we talking?
About 65, probably. So we're cutting a lot.
How many films will you cut it down to?
About 65.
Oh, no.
How many are submitted?
Yeah. How many are submitted? That's what I...
407.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Good night.
So, yeah, we'll have to cut it down to like 65. So now it's the horrible process of deciding.
And they've been
deciding.
Great, wow. Like, shorts that you've shown, because I went there and just saw one small section, and everything on there was very high quality and very well picked.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the people selected.
She's looking at us very negatively because we were supposed to be some of the people who helped us trim
this
down.
Time. You can do it this year. You can make up for
Jim's
like the past 2 years.
He's
going to
commit
right now.
On the air and lie.
On the air, I commit that I would do it this year. I will do it this year.
Well, I'm going to give you films tomorrow then.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so.
Everybody heard him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Becky is also a big fan of true crime.
True crime.
Like you went to, what was the big event that you went to? Some true crime event.
We went to, my friend Christine and I went to a live taping of My Favorite Murder.
Who's your friend's, what's your friend's name?
Christine.
Oh, Christine. Christine's right over there in the corner.
Christine
she won't come
right
on
over
here.
There.
She's
off
camera, folks. Sitting here right beside me.
And so we are going to get to true crime in just a second. This will be the second half of the show. But first, we're going to jump into the upcoming events. Derek is usually here, or Katie. Katie is at the Jonas Brothers event tonight.
Yeah. And so, wow.
Joe Bros.
She's with the Joe Bros tonight.
Hashtag Joe Bros.
So she could not be with us. So let me just tell you real quick, we do have some cool events. And by the way, if this is your first time, the Scare Guy is all about horror that you can experience. That sounds terrible almost, doesn't it? Experiential fun.
Would you like
horror.
To experience horror?
Like you
watch our podcast.
Such as these things. June 7th horror. Through the 9th.
You
Scare-Con.
Watch podcasts with your ears, you goof.
We have video.
So June 7th through the 9th, ScareCon New England is in Framingham, Massachusetts. It is a huge roster of celebrity guests this year. Especially, they're going to have the 40th anniversary of the movie Phantasm. Who in here has seen the movie Phantasm? Am I the only one?
The thing you showed, that weird clip of the thing that's supposed to be scary, but it's no longer scary, but scary back then.
The thing that zooms around and gets in people's foreheads and starts spitting blood out. Oh, it's great.
Wow.
The Tall Man.
He's dead now.
This is the guy begging for gruesome murders.
Plus, it has stars from Nightmare on Elm Street, Texas Chainsaw Films, The Dead Call.
Hope it's gruesome.
Terrifier, yeah. Tales from the Crypt, Elvira, and tons more. ScareCon New England is one of the biggest of the conventions east of the Mississippi. Then, June 8th through the 9th, Ghostbusters. That's this coming weekend, Ghostbusters Fan Fest on the Sony Pictures backlot.
Oh.
We're going to that.
We are.
I think. Yeah.
You better figure that out. It's this weekend.
Well, let me check my calendar. I had something else planned. But Ghostbusters Fan Fest is this weekend over at the back lot in Sony Pictures. And then.
Nah, I got to do laundry.
June 28th through the 30th, Mad Monster Party, Arizona in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Ooh, I want to go.
Isn't it awesome? It's featuring Kane Hodder, you know, Jason, Elvira again. She's getting around. I thought she retired. Robert Patrick, Adrian Barbeau.
I would say.
She was a classic in some of the old John Carpenter films. Tom Atkins, also in Halloween 3. Doug Jones, a fan of some of us in the room. Matthew Lillard, and the little kid from The Shining.
Doug Jones Matthew is a fan Lillard. Of you.
No, I'm not a fan.
That's
friend.
What I thought he said.
I'm so sorry. I meant a friend.
He's a big
a friend.
Big fan of Jim.
If you go gigantic to this fan. Event in Scottsdale, can I tag along and
yes,
be
if I
just
go,
in your pocket, you know?
Yes, you
and
can.
And the reason for it is there's a little true crime intersection there.
What is it?
Well, Matthew Lillard, he was in Scream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a classic.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's probably at this convention, you know?
Yeah. I hope so. He's a fabulous actor. He was phenomenal in Bosch. And there are at least three or four cases of copycat true crime.
Seriously?
Episodes of, yeah.
Of Scream?
Of Scream, yeah.
I thought you were about to tell me that
and
Matthew Lillard has committed three crimes.
No. He's golden. He's great.
Wait, you're saying in real life people have tried to mimic Scream?
Yeah, real life. And I'm good friends with one of the DAs who worked one of the big Scream cases, and the judge actually said you can't refer to Scream, even though they wore the Scream masks and had exactly duplicated the crime.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm totally riveted by this.
I tell you what,
this is interesting.
That is,
all right, we're going to go to this. All right.
We're going.
July 5th to the 7th, the day after Independence Day, Day of the Dead. That sounds so disrespectful, but July 5th through the 7th, Days of the Dead, Indianapolis, Indiana. It's the largest horror convention in the Midwest.
We should try to get Jake to go to that.
I think Jake is going to that. August 2nd through the 4th, Flashback Weekend Chicago Horror Con featuring Sam Raimi, Robert Englund, Bruce Campbell, and more. And then, of course, August 3rd through the 4th, right here in Southern California over in Long Beach, Midsummer Scream,
ooh,
which is...
yes.
It has become the largest horror convention in Southern California. And then, I must remind everybody, 5 months until Halloween. Exactly. 5 months until Halloween. All right. Ben.
Yes. I have two things to say before we get into this.
Yes.
One, you put Scottsdale AR. You know AR is Arkansas, right?
Okay, for the record, I did this run sheet this week. I was
stone drunk.
I was
Jim had a lot of return mail as a kid.
I was back east at a graduation. I had 3 days. I was on the plane.
Scottsdale, Arkansas.
It's a wonder we're having a show tonight.
The other thing, I do an impression of Matthew Lillard from Scream. It's just
do it. Liver alone.
Liver. Man. Okay. That's Matthew Miller on screen.
I like Scoob. Anyway.
Stab me so
deep. Stab me. Stab me, man. What kind of news? Some of the scariest news of the week, Ben.
All right, scariest. We usually do 3 minutes, but there is not nearly enough to even make 3 minutes.
We're going. 30 seconds of scary news.
Warner Brothers' Godzilla King of the Monsters is king of the weekend box office with an estimated $49 million. The film's opening is well short of the $93.2 million opening for the 2014 Godzilla reboot, as well as the $61 million opening for Kong Skull Island back in March 2017.
But we love him.
I went and saw that with my father-in-law. I really enjoyed Kong Skull Island.
I liked
Godzilla 1 too.
I did too.
Godzilla King of the Monsters Rotten Tomatoes score sits at a disappointing 39%.
Doesn't matter.
Ma, on the other hand, brought in an estimated $18.2 million domestically, and this despite the fact that film critic Rex Reed said that Octavia Spencer's Ma is a nauseating, stupid, gasp-worthy disgrace.
You would agree.
I'm
huh?
just that... hoping if it continues or they do something with it. I'm not saying if
that's
she
quite...
lived or not, that they make it kind of like a way over the top thing because it's just ridiculous.
That's quite the.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Anyone else?
That's quite the review, though.
Yeah.
Few names are as iconic in the world of horror as Robert Englund.
Yes.
In honor of the Robert Englund of the Robert Englund's contributions. Good night, Jim.
It was so fast. I just finished this.
In honor of Robert Englund's contributions, everybody knows he was Freddy Krueger, the original Freddy Krueger.
Absolutely.
In honor of his contributions to the world of horror, the documentary Icon, the Robert Englund story, is being developed by filmmakers who have previously delivered Pennywise, the story of It, and You're So Cool, Brewster, the story of Fright Night. Wow. For collectors of horror-themed merchandise, here's something else to put on your shelf. Originally founded in 1954, Mego Corp. achieved legendary success with figurines featuring Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Dracula, and the Mummy as part of its original line of horror characters. Several of those characters are returning to store shelves along with a couple of freaky new additions. The new additions include Nosferatu, Bela Lugosi's Dracula, Nightmare on Elm Street's Freddy Krueger, the Invisible Man, Frankenstein, and the Wolfman. Mego Corporation was originally founded in 1954 and became the first company to make an action figure of TV and comic superheroes. Speaking of Bella, I'm wearing my Monster Tees Dracula is Lugosi shirt, which I I love this shirt.
Yes, it is a
cool it's also shirt. Very comfy. It's a comfy t-shirt.
Well, that is all the news we had. There is so much more news in the world of horror. Like I said, I just got off a plane and wrote these on the you know when I wrote these? On the way from the airport back home today. So,
I hope you weren't driving.
Maybe.
I was one knee and then swiping on his iPad.
Yeah. And he faxed him.
He's also got some interesting Tinder results.
This is true. All right, so this is the part of the show where we move on to something really exciting. We are so pleased to have Bethany Jones on the show with us
this week.
Thank you for showing up this week.
I am so thrilled to be here.
We did have to we kind of moved everything around, and we didn't originally have a show scheduled for today, but we wanted to make sure we got you. You're a very busy person.
I am, and I completely appreciate you accommodating and welcoming me and being so hospitable. So it's like a prison visit. You can only do it at certain times.
Especially if it's conjugal.
Oh, well, there we go.
Never had one of those.
But you did meet, who's the person that was one of Manson's right-hand man?
I have met several people. I've spoken to several people. And from the Manson family, Tex Watson has written to me. And I've also gone and met Bruce Davis in person.
And he is?
He was one of Manson's right-hand men.
Because of this, Becky is your new biggest fan.
Yes. So just to kind of, clarify for people, he wasn't part of the Tate LaBianca murders, but he was part of the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Bethany, tell us a little bit about your podcast and how that came about. Also, your day job, because it kind of all goes together.
Sure, it does. It intersects and intertwines. So I'm a true crime TV producer. I've produced for a plethora of networks, as has my co-host and producing partner, Adriana. And we've produced a bunch of stuff that people have watched, ranging from the kind of the enjoyable, like Snapped, to the little bit more highbrow, like Declassified or Remastered, which is on Netflix, and Adriana did that. And we began the Pros and Cons podcast because we wanted to be able to intersect the true crime that we produce with the podcast world and to give people a little bit more insight, bring on experts, bring on kind of the insight into how we produce the cases. Every week I feel as though it's, you're like, this is never going to happen. This is never going to happen. Get on the plane. We're getting the interview. Go. So.
Who's some of the craziest people you've talked with? Some of the most interesting characters you've had to deal with.
Psychotic.
Yes, tell us.
People
wet
you've
our
ever
whistle.
Met.
Oh,
that
okay.
You were like sweating, just freaking out meeting.
I have gotten letters from Ted Kaczynski, who is the
Seriously?
Yep, absolutely.
The assistant suicide doctor.
He's the Unabomber.
No.
I'm thinking of
Kevorkian.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
Wait, you got a letter from
him.
You met the suicide doctor?
Yes.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was creepy.
How did you meet him?
He was at something. I don't. It was a long, long time.
Del Taco.
Ago.
Was he at like the Scare Guy convention?
No, I mean like this was just like no, like that's 20. Year. Like I don't even know. Like 25 years ago.
Okay.
I can't even remember what it was, but I remember meeting him.
What's your favorite case?
I'm a Manson fan.
You're a Manson.
I mean, I don't like Manson himself. Like, but yeah, that was my. Well,
some,
that was
some
my
people
first.
Like love.
She
Charles
wants to
Manson.
Join the family.
No, I don't want to join the family, but he was like my first.
You're riveted.
I read Helter Skelter when I was like 12.
Okay, got it.
To add on to this, the headline did just come out today that what's her name? Van Houten.
Yeah. She's up for parole.
She's up for parole, and the governor of California denied her parole.
Ooh.
It's a tough one, you know.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's interesting that we're talking about it tonight because that news just hit the headlines.
And what's interesting, this summer is isn't this the 50th anniversary summer of when the events occurred?
It is. Yeah. This year marks the 50th anniversary. There's obviously going to be this intersection of our worlds again with
Tarantino's film.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it looks phenomenal. I'm very excited for it. And one of the things I'm most excited about is I think it really kind of humanizes everyone. And I know that's a strange thing to say when you're talking about this kind of mythological case that's kind of rippled throughout Southern California for all these years. But I think it gives the opportunity to show Sharon Tate as Sharon Tate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm very excited to see it.
Although there is a little bit of controversy. Have you heard the bubbling controversy about Margot Robbie's role as Sharon Tate, that she has very few lines.
Right, but I think that if you gave her more lines, you'd be speaking for Sharon, whereas mm-hmm. she's
I'm not taking the side.
Yeah. No, nor am I. I've not seen it, but I do think that it's a very intelligent, creative maneuver because mm-hmm. you're showing someone in their day-to-day life without putting words in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that actually is quite a difficult acting task for Margot. And I think that Quentin probably did it, knowing the landscape of Southern California, understanding the film world, understanding Manson's world, and just kind of representing that in a little bit more of a nuanced way. And I think a lot of people probably need to digest it right before they comment.
And it's the Manson crime spree is it's generally noted it's the event which forever changed Southern California from that time on. As far as like the Summer of Love, it stopped the movement of the Summer of Love. A lot of people say, and it is when Southern Californians started locking their doors, and that's what I've heard. I am sure. not from Southern California
well,
originally.
Well, there was also, you know, Richard Ramirez later, so... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I just think
it it just went downhill from there.
Yeah. And
why
it was actually after Richard Ramirez that people started getting Ring and Nest,
But you also were involved, your podcast, I think, with some other California crimes as well.
Absolutely. So we've done some crossover episodes with Murderish, which is, you know, another true crime podcast. But we've covered a lot of cases across the nation and internationally.
Were you involved with the Zodiac?
Yes, I actually produced was one of the producers for Hunt for the Zodiac.
Nice.
On the History Channel.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's actually, there's a Manson Zodiac kind of theory, and that's how I got connected to...
Oh, please tell, because I don't know that one.
There's several people who are zodiophiles who believe that the Manson family are the Zodiac Killer.
Get out of town.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Did you know that?
Nope.
Yeah, you call yourself a fan.
Not of the Zodiac.
Not of the Zodiac.
Manson?
One time I was in San Francisco with my friend Brian, and we went across the Golden Gate Bridge and into the woods where they found the bodies.
Ooh.
And then, like, it was, like, just after sunset, and then he just pulls out a Bluetooth speaker out of his backpack and starts playing the Unsolved Mysteries theme. It was creepy.
Seems like a good friend.
We were fine, but friend. It was creepy.
Is your friendship intact?
Oh, yeah. No, I still love the guy.
Was he in your wedding?
He was at the wedding. He wasn't in the wedding, but he was at the wedding.
Ben's a newlywed, by the way.
Did he pull out the Bluetooth speaker at that moment?
No, but he's notorious for pulling a Bluetooth speaker out at the most inappropriate times.
You and Bluetooth just playing speaker, loud music, you.
Right? So, as promised on the show tonight, you did bring a special case that you were going to kind of walk us through tonight, right?
I did. And it's a case that I can't remember exactly what my genesis with it is, but I've spoken to the man who's incarcerated for the crime, and I felt it was perfect for here because you two...
All of us,
everyone here is a huge fan of either true crime or horror, mm-hmm. and this is really the true intersection of true crime and horror.
Nice. You're a fan of both, right, Becky?
I am.
You're a big horror fan.
I am a big horror fan.
I think that's how we became friends, talking horror.
What? Yeah. Yeah, it's a good connection. Okay. That was,
So how do we do this?
Well, I can just jump right in.
Would love that.
Yeah. So tonight's horror movie,
mm-hmm.
it's Dracula versus Frankenstein, Satan Sadist. It is the case of the murder of Al Adamson, who is a B-list horror director. And, you know, he'd worked with notable actors such as John Carradine, the father of David Carradine.
Mm-hmm.
He'd, in fact, created his own genre, the Western horror genre. So, you know, we all like to talk about fusions. This was an incredible fusion in Hollywood back in the day in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
He had filmed at Spawn Ranch,
where the Manson family lived.
Wait, what was the film he filmed there?
Satan Sadists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Becky told us tonight she wants to watch this film now because it was filmed
as... Oh, no, I have to watch it with you guys.
Satan Sadist.
Which is
going to
be weird, but whatever. Yeah.
Satan Sadist. Is that one of those erotic-type films?
No, but he did eventually end up, kind of as he had a dearth in his... You know, in his career.
In a downturn, had to make some money.
A little downturn, a little recession, a little horror film... light.
Horror wasn't paying the bills, huh?
Horror Desert. He ended up directing some softcore porn. No judgment, no shame. I think that people have the right to watch that. So, you know, we don't want anyone who's watching.
Gosh, my mom's watching this.
I think I watched some of those trailers today when I was, like, looking at who he was.
And
what'd you think?
Totally gonna watch the whole movie. Not at all.
Well, and a lot of them were born of the kind of fascination of the stewardess intrigue back in the day. So a lot of them were kind of stewardess.
What do you mean by that? What is this? Is that the world of horror or porn?
The porn.
Okay,
sorry.
The stewardess line of porn.
So I guess there have been...
Sorry, I don't know what that means.
nor do I. Okay. I mean, I didn't exactly Google...
Ben,
what? Well, Pan Am in the 60s really created... Pan American Airlines really created this whole kind of culture about the stewardess being this... You know, kind of the modern equivalent of the what's the word I'm looking for?
Pamela Anderson?
No. Just the sexy
modern woman like that can get out and like.
Well, the sexy woman in the tight uniform with the short skirt that would bring you booze and would bring you food and would bang you in the bathroom of the airplane. You know that sort of thing. So it kind of developed this culture. Well, historically, of like,
and ironically, today with airlines the way they are, it's
still the same way, right?
I was going to say they just screw you on your luggage. But, you know.
Get screwed every other way now.
Exactly, yeah.
What's this fee for $500?
Sir,
the worst porn ever.
Right. Sir, did you want the recycled oxygen to stay alive? So, you know, Al had kind of had this very prolific, very colorful career. Unfortunately, in 1992, his wife had passed away from cancer. They'd fought vehemently, and he did end up finding love again. And in 1995, he decided that he wanted to go ahead and remodel his house with his new love interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was out in Indio. For those of you that don't know where Indio is, it's about 100, 120 miles. My GPS tells me it's southeast. I don't know what that
means. It's close to Palm Springs, right?
It is. Yeah, kind of like in between, I think, Palm Springs and the Salton Sea. I pass it on the way to certain prisons and on the way to Scottsdale. We'll pass it when we go.
Scottsdale, Arkansas.
Scottsdale, Arkansas.
Bethany, that's I pass it when I'm driving to prison.
Pass it when I'm driving to prison.
But it's out in the desert.
It's got the finest of Del Tacos.
The world's first Del Taco is in Bartow.
Really?
Yeah. There's their claim to fame. Go Bartow!
Barstow or Bartow?
Where's Bartow?
Barstow. He'll pronounce it however he likes.
Sorry. Bartow is Florida. Barstow is California.
Okay.
So is the world's first Del Taco in Barstow or Bartow?
It's on the way to Vegas.
Okay, then it's in Barstow.
Yes. Sorry.
So no, not.
I got really distracted by that.
No.
Del Taco.
So Al actually, he at this time was splitting his time between Indio, Southern California, Texas, Las Vegas, and even abroad. So he wasn't in one place at the same time, which comes into play with the case. And he ends up kind of, his brother's like, oh, where is he? What's going on?
Was he still working? Was he still making films?
He was. Okay. He was at least still on the radar. Yeah. You know, he wasn't so passe or however you want.
Had he come out of the porno stewardess phase and back into horror yet, or?
Yes.
Okay,
good. Yeah. He was no longer putting the whore in horror.
So, okay.
Waka waka.
There you go. So his brother shows up, and his brother, and I don't mean to make light of it, but it is kind of, I think, interesting. He sees that his brother sees that Al's beloved jacuzzi has been dismantled and moved.
Oh.
And he's like, my brother would never do this. And calls.
Who moves a jacuzzi? For crying out loud.
So he calls and reports his brother missing. He says he's not spoken to his brother for a while. That was July 26th, 1995. The police come. Of course, the police are like, are you sure he's not in Vegas or Texas? And he's like, no, this jacuzzi. Like, I know my brother would never do anything. It's really important to him. And so the police do some digging.
Oh, literally?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I see where this is going.
Literally. And they end up finding Al's body. He had been wrapped in linens. He'd been left in a very deep hole. There was some kind of tiling on top. And so they automatically suspect the contractor, Fred Fulford.
Wait, where was his body? It was where the jacuzzi once was?
It was where the jacuzzi once was, in a deep hole.
What?
In his own yard.
This is a weird question, but how deep was the hole? I'm curious, because in my mental, like, I'm creating the image in my brain, and I'm like, was it really deep? Was it shallow? Was it?
It seems pretty deep, because there was tiling on top.
Right.
But okay. I never actually FOIA'd the crime scene investigation, so I couldn't give you the specifics and dimensions, so you can replicate it for your...
That seems so odd.
For my murder theme park.
For your murder theme dinner party.
There you go.
And your friend can pop out with the Bluetooth at an appropriate time.
That'd be fun. Let's do that.
Doesn't it seem odd that somebody would go to the trouble of digging up a jacuzzi and moving it and then putting the person where the jacuzzi used to be?
Well, but he wouldn't have moved his jacuzzi, so...
That's a big sign.
It was kind of like a scene from one of his movies, you know, where a body just like... pops up, you know, because I think that it's 1995, there isn't GPS, there's nothing tracking on your phone, there isn't social media, so the police are probably like, are you sure he's not in Texas? Are you sure? You know, and they're doing their due diligence with the tools they had at the time.
And this is 95, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, 95.
And, the police were like, this is weird. It's like a scene from one of his movies. So they kind of begin looking at everything. His partner, his girlfriend at the time, she was definitely fell under suspicion. The police were quick to eliminate her as a suspect or a person of interest, and they moved on to this contractor. But they couldn't understand what the motive is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they found him way out in Florida, and I'm telling you.
Of course.
Yes.
Always in Florida.
That's where all the weirdos go.
Absolutely.
I used to live there, so I can say that.
Yep. So you're Florida native, you can say that. And they found him. He was like out, I think, at a motel, something along those lines. And he's to this day claimed his innocence, but they brought him in, they interviewed him, he went on trial, he was found guilty. And kind of my introduction was some weird director from New York had asked me about this case, and I was like, I don't know about this case. They're like, well, we don't really, and this is like a classic LA thing, you guys will know. Go, well, if you can get him to talk, it'll be exposure for you. And I was like,
it'll help your career.
And I was like, thanks. I've talked to, the Olympic Park bomber and Ted Kaczynski. I think I'm good on the exposure part of things. And so they, it was this New York director, and very, gauche and braggadocious and everything like that. And so I was like, I'm going to just try my one little technique and see if I can get this guy to talk.
So you did speak with him?
I did. Oh, I've spoken to him on the phone. He's written to me. And he sent me all these records from Vegas of this guy and his wife, and there was domestic issues, and he was like trying to, it was like, have you seen that meme where it's a guy and he's got that A Beautiful Mind background, like all those different
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where he's got the board with all the yarn from picture to picture in the back, and he's like trying to explain the whole conspiracy theory.
It was like that, like this letter I got, and I will have to find it and I will send it to you on so you can put it on your Instagram. But he's basically like, this is why I'm innocent. And I'm like, that's why you're not getting out. Like the parole board is like, okay, just tell us why you did what you did and how you're not going to do it again and you'll be good to go. And he shows up and he's like, guys, I've created this diagram of why I'm innocent. But he was polite to me, I don't want to fault the guy.
So was it a phone call or did you
both? He's called me and he's written to me.
How creepy is that though?
So what do people think happened?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people think that Fred Fulford did it. I don't think
is that the contractor?
That's the contractor. He did come up for parole in 2016. He did not pass go. He did not collect $200. I don't think anyone fully understands whatever happens when a murder occurs, especially in this, in an instance like this, it's a lot.
What was their, they interact a lot before that? Or
they did. Fred was kind of considered part of the family. He'd stayed at the house, so I don't
say lots of things that he was the live-in contractor that I read.
He was definitely kind of a staple. Mm-hmm. So I don't think no one's established was there an argument, was there some kind of altercation, was there some kind of fraud where Fred was defrauding him and didn't want to face it. The motive was never established, and that's always a very tricky thing for people.
Yeah, but then how did they convict this guy of murder?
Well, I don't think you understand the judicial system. look at the Central Park Five or...
Well, you've got a point, but, why was he...
Probably because he was so close, you know what I mean? They always look at the people closest to you. And so, for example, if I leave here and I go missing, first thing they're going to do is they're going to say, where was she? Oh,
sitting right next to me.
Yeah, a guy in a Dracula shirt.
I murdered her.
Well, and they'll be like, what did you guys last see? And, oh, here on our show. Okay, great. And
then we were talking about murder.
We were. Officer.
Put me in the mood.
We were talking about murder. Yeah, no, but they always look at those nearest and dearest to you because you're, you know, and I want to say this to kind of reassure the people watching this, is that you
are most likely to be killed by someone you love.
Correct. Correct.
Wait, that is how you're reassuring us.
Yes.
That is. So we're the least safe around the people that love us the most. Good to know.
Good to know.
Much better.
Yeah. So, you know, I...
Sorry to steal your thunder there.
Steal away. If I were to ever get married, I'd hope someone would get up and be like, if she's ever a Dateline episode, we're all in this together. And I would want Josh Mankiewicz to produce that episode, just, you know.
There you go.
There we go.
Who would you have play you?
I mean...
that's a hard question to answer.
I mean, in an ideal world, someone who's... It would have to be probably Kate Middleton.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I like to think I look like her, even though I'm about 7 inches shorter and half American. But there we go. You know.
So what other clues, because I'm still perplexed as to why they pointed to this gentleman instead of his wife.
So, with the wife, I think it was all to do with her whereabouts. It was to do with the stance of the relationship. It was to do with, you know, they always kind of dig into things in that way. And that was one of the things that Fred had pointed out. You know, and he does kind of have grounds as to, like, how he got convicted.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're kind of like, well...
Does he have a case, though? Does he have a case? Is he still alive, by the way?
Oh, yeah. He's still alive. Yeah, he's up in Stockton.
How old was he when the crime was committed?
Who, Fred?
Fred was older because Al, I think, was 65 mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. he was killed. So
He by himself moved a hot tub and then out, like spent like a whole afternoon drinking lemonade.
Hold on. Is this like a weird Lowe's commercial? Like, do you need a drill that does it all?
Yeah, you show all the beginning part and then you go underground and you see a dead body at the end of the commercial. Some nice yard work.
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah.
You know,
there we go. Got the mood. Describe
what. Yeah. I guess he was a contractor, right?
He was a contractor. And brick so to me, I think what down. I'm
piece of tile.
Most what I'm most riveted by is how this relationship developed, how you came to be living in Indio and at this house and how you came to be so close to the director and his world mm-hmm. and you know, was there an infatuation? Was there kind of this chemistry? Was there jealousy?
Was there a relationship?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to Aaron Hernandez the guy, but was there? But
you just made that a verb.
And it wasn't a football verb, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you didn't punt with that one.
I didn't punt with that one. No, but it's definitely... I definitely have to go back and find this because it is such a weird letter that I got where I was like, if I had any question about your innocence, now it's confirmed to me that you are guilty.
Did they use it in the trial?
No, this was something different. This was all to do with Al's life in Las Vegas, and that's what perplexed me, is that it had nothing to do with what I asked him.
Oh, so bizarre.
It would just, like, came out of left field, and...
interesting.
You know.
More bodies are buried there.
I keep
Do you want to stop on your way to Scottsdale?
On the way to FDA, we're going to do it.
On your way to Arkansas? I would think... My thing is, and maybe I don't have all the pieces here, but if they found him in a hole where the hot tub used to be and it was tiled over, I would think that his intention was to reassemble the hot tub over where he buried the body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the tiles were to keep the smell.
Yeah. Did he just run out of time?
I feel like they caught him in the middle of it.
Yeah.
He was like, I'll get back to that dead body cover up tomorrow.
Did he create such a crazy crime that Florida was like, here's your pass, sir. Come
back.
It's a free, tax-free.
I like to think that he's been sitting in prison for the last 24 years being like, if only I would have finished that hot tub. Like, yeah. I wouldn't be here right now.
I tell you what, next time he calls me, I will ask him that. I'll try and record it for you.
There you go.
Next time he calls me. Wait. He's continuing to call you?
He had someone text me from the outside. Like, one day I got this weird text, and they were like, Fred's going to call you. I was like, Fred, who?
Creepy. Like, Fred's like going to call you.
Like, months after, I'd never heard anything from him. But then he wanted to add me to his visit list so I could go up and visit him. So he sent me a form. So I filled it out and they denied me. And I was like, well, what the fuck is that? And I called the prison because, I mean, I've been approved to other prisons in California. I was like, it's kind of like, is my pass catching up to me? And they're like, oh no, he didn't fill out his portion. Nice. And he did it not once, but 3 times to me. And I was like, they
he can build a hot tub from scratch, but he can't fill out a form.
No, he can disassemble.
Disassemble.
But I'm on his list now.
I don't want to be on his list. But I have a theory. My theory is the reason that he put the body where he put it, because they already had a hole. They already had a hot tub there and they had all the pipes. He was old and tired and didn't want to have to dig another hole.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Why wouldn't you put in the same place?
Why not drive out to the middle of the desert and
didn't want to dig a new hole.
He had a very nice
throw
car.
Throw in that. Why are we coming up with ways to dispose of a body right now?
I'll give you 10 ways to dispose of a body right here.
Hasn't he
seen Breaking Bad? Well, it wasn't out yet. Yeah.
What if it was like an innocent mistake where he had like the hole and he was going to hook everything up and like Fred or Al fell in it and then he didn't know how to
deal. Hey Fred, how you doing? Like, whoa, crack. Oh no, my best friend. Well, I guess I'll throw some tile over him.
He turned his back, he fell in, and he just wasn't paying attention. He just kept on tiling it.
No,
but I mean, that was kind of like, I mean, I guess that's an option. There are things that go wrong in life, and...
Like, what would you argue about 1995? Like, you didn't like Jurassic Park, or...
argue about 1995.
You don't like Ace of Base?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that she wants. But there's a lot of true crime and horror film intersection. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Primal Fear and Richard Gere's character talking to Edward Norton. That was like a big pivotal moment for me when I saw that movie and I could see that kind of psychological dance. That was really impressive to me.
We are kind of winding down the show here, so like, yeah, tell us, how'd you get into true crime, and when do you think true crime really took off as a genre?
I think it really took off a couple years ago. There was Serial. Making a Murderer. Mm-hmm. There was
that OJ thing. There was a lot of OJ stuff that came out, and the miniseries and all that.
A
couple of years ago.
There was. I think that it was just kind of these, you know, there was also Up and Vanish. There was a couple of things that kind of really popped off, and people were finally, like, shedding their coats of being demure about it, and they were like, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then the networks were like, we're going to give you what you want. Can you solve a crime right now? And we were like...
Right now.
No, but I could get Fred Fulford on the phone for you.
I'm on his list.
He texted me.
Is there anything else that you... By proxy. Any other facts you brought tonight that we haven't been able to squeeze in yet?
Well, I mean, I think that when you think about true crime, it's the real life horror. You know, it's really like looking out at a storm. It's looking out at the rain and the wind and being protected by it. And I think that's why we love true crime. It's why we love horror. You know, it's why we're all so intrigued by it. And it's why I've had a career based on it. And there's, you know, like the Scream cases, like I said, there's tons of them out there, and people always want to know, did art imitate life, or did life imitate art? And I don't think we're ever going to know the answer to that. I think this is going to be cyclical. I think that probably we're going to see a new kind of burgeoning of horror films, and then maybe a new burgeoning of crimes that are, you know,
because I was wondering why that like hasn't happened, why people haven't imitated, you know, movies more, but it sounds like it has, and that would be probably a great other episode if we have you back sometime, talk about movies.
Let's
and
have Matthew Lillard on, and yeah, I can we'll tell him Matthew all Lillard. About the weird cases.
I would love to have you back and talk about, you know, some films that have been based on true, like, you know, Psycho and Silence of the Lambs, the story about it, and you're the one that were telling it about that, right?
About what, huh?
Silence of the Lambs and Psycho and Texas Chainsaw and the rumors.
Can I tell you a weird Psycho thing that's true crime and no one knows?
Absolutely.
The reason she goes on the run is because she had white collar crime. And so there is that weird true crime, and women are the best at fraud. And so the reason she leaves and begins kind of running away is because she committed a crime.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Dun dun dun. Bethany, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. Hey, what is coming up for you that you would want to plug for people to pay attention to?
There's obviously Macabre Mondays, which is at Golden Road Brewery.
If you're in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah, if you're in the Los Angeles area. If you're not, you can also follow me and Adriana on the Pros and Cons podcast on both Instagram and Facebook. We also have a closed Facebook group where we post about updates about the shows we're doing. We do behind-the-scenes stuff. We talk about weird crimes that probably embarrass my parents. and then on Twitter at the Pros and Cons show. We're pretty friendly. If you DM us, we'll probably respond to you.
And don't you guys have a Patreon going on right now?
We do. We have a Patreon going on for $6 a month. You get an exclusive episode and you get even more behind the scenes.
Fantastic. I know that Becky, is this everything you was hoping it was going to be?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us this week on the Scare Guy Show. You can find me at Jim Fry LA on Twitter. Where can we find everybody else?
You can find me and Salute Your Shorts at Salute Shorts on Facebook.
When is the festival?
The festival is August 16th, 17th, and 18th. And we will have details on our Facebook page pretty soon.
And we will post it on our site as well. Where can we find you?
And then obviously at the Pros and Cons podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and at the Pros and Cons show on Twitter. And
Ben?
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, I'm Ben Cleaver at BenKlieWer on all social media. I primarily use Instagram and Twitter. I have three real quick points to make. One, I think the fascination with true crime is most people, like, I think sometimes, like, we fantasize about, like, wow, I'm so mad at that person, I would murder them, but we wouldn't really do it. And then we're fascinated by these people that actually do it and how they accomplished it and why they would actually take that next step that most of us would never take.
You sound like Ross from Friends. Like, you know, how, like, what's the next step that you would take? You as the victim? No, you as the attacker.
Right. There you go. And two, I think that these convicted murderers in prison talk to this woman for two reasons. One, because she's talking to them and they'll talk to anybody to tell them. But two, her voice is so soothing.
Yeah, I know.
And just she started talking and every muscle in my body relaxed. And I was just like, this is nice.
I'm going to tell you where the bodies are buried.
There you go. I'd be willing to tell her where the bodies are buried.
I literally had an inmate who was once like, if I can call you back, I'll tell you where Jimmy Hoffa is. And I was like, what?
Call him back.
Is he at the Meadowlands? Anyway.
Did you have a third one?
That was it. The two things. They'll talk to.
Oh, perfect.
They just want somebody to listen to them. And she has a soothing voice.
Ben, we like your voice too.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Jeez, man.
My body's just so relaxed now listening to Ben speak for the body giving his voice.
Hey, that's so weird.
But I'm Cheese on the Couch here. You can find me on Twitter at Cheese on Couch and on thescareguy.com. And this is my nice Monsters Are Good shirt. I'm just It's the Ramones with monster faces.
They are
a pretty cool
good.
Sight. Yeah, monsters are good. They're not
don't
bad.
Judge
they're,
people.
They're not murderers, real life murderers like
hey,
these people.
Leave them alone.
Did you notice that the rap when you can just got bolded?
Bolded.
That means it's time to stop. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week to the Scare Guy Show. Next week we are back with the Con Guy and we are heading into Comic Con season.
Woo!
So, but be checking out the website because we have a whole lot of horror news coming up and horror events coming up this summer. So be paying attention. Also, be watching the pros and cons. Paying attention to the pros and cons.
Absolutely.
And we're going to come down there to Golden Road.
Absolutely. Every Wednesday. Come on.
Just all right. Follow the Golden Road.
Or Mondays.
Our episodes are released on Wednesdays, and every last Monday is Golden Road Brewery.
Oh, the Macabre Monday.
Macabre Monday.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.